mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. The ministry of John the Baptist was foretold by the prophets Isaiah and Malachi. He would be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And only St. Luke gives us a glimpse into his early life between his birth and his public ministry. Luke writes, "The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel." John is the last of the prophets to live under the Old Testament law. And he's arguably the greatest prophet in that he announces the good news of the new era of salvation in Christ Jesus. But John wouldn't want to hear any of our accolades on his behalf, because John came as a subordinate. He preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." Tying and untying sandals, the master's sandals, were among the lowliest of the tasks assigned to slaves and servants. And yet the last and greatest of the Old Testament prophets recognized the glory of Jesus, the one for whom he was preparing the way. John knew that he was not worthy even to be Jesus' slave, not even to untie his sandals. And why would he feel this way? Well, they're God's sandals. Who among us is worthy to touch the sandals of God? John was preparing the way for the incarnate Jesus. The word incarnation is that fancy theological term that we confessed just now in the Nicene Creed that means that God took on human flesh and became fully man, yet at the same time still fully God. Maybe a simpler way of saying is that God put on the flesh and bone of man and put on his sandals and walked miles upon miles through the desert and the wilderness on his journey to Jerusalem, to Calvary's cross, where he would establish comfort and restoration for all mankind. He would do this by being nailed to the cross, suffering and dying so that sinners such as you and me might be granted forgiveness of sins, life, and eternal salvation. It's the same comfort that God announced to Israel in our Old Testament text, where Isaiah writes, "Comfort, comfort, my people, says your God." The Lord God promised comfort and restoration to all the Babylonian exiles. And these promises were also fulfilled in the ministry of John the Baptist. And they also have personal consequences to you and for all people. Just as the Lord doubled the comfort and forgiveness for the exiles, he has doubled comfort and forgiveness to you in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, you and I often do not prefer his comfort. We would rather exchange God's comfort for the comfort of our own sin. Rather than using your time, talents, and treasures for the glory of God's kingdom, you find it much more comfortable to use them for your own pleasure and your own purposes. Rather being comforted by the curb, the mirror, and the guide of God's holy law, you find it more comfortable to pretend that God's law doesn't apply to you. You're baptized. Why should you even worry about it? Rather than being comforted by God's gifts and word and sacrament, you often find it more comfortable to embrace the ways of the world, chase after the distractions and pleasures of the world. Well, Jesus, he could have remained more comfortable. He could have remained in heaven instead of coming to win comfort and restoration and salvation for all mankind. But in his love, Jesus stooped down. He stooped down and allowed his hands and feet to be nailed to Calvary's cross as your suffering servant, suffering and dying to serve you. Every time you suffer, you can take comfort knowing that God, in the flesh of man, has suffered greater than all. And he has the scars to go along with the sandals. And the incarnate Jesus came in a body just like yours. And in his humiliation, his humiliation made his incarnation complete. The humiliation through his suffering. And his suffering is more important to you than your own. When you struggle with temptation, you know that it was in a body just like yours that Jesus was tempted with all the very same temptations that you will ever face. Except he resisted temptation. And his resistance of temptation is more important than your own. In your contrition and repentance, he forgives you all of your sins, including your sins of discarding the comfort of God in exchange for the comfort of your own desires. There's nothing more comfortable, nothing more comforting than waking up in the morning knowing that Jesus came into the world to reconcile you with God the Father in heaven, making peace between God and you. It's comforting to know that he's always there to hear your prayers. It's comforting to know that he's at the right hand of God interceding for you. It's also comforting to know that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for your sins, and not for yours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It's very comforting to know that Jesus has not left you as an orphan. No, he promises to come again, to take you home to live with him in the new heaven and the new earth eternally. John the Baptist was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, but he knew that Jesus was far mightier than he. And John knew exactly what Isaiah meant when he foretold, "The Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him." By the power of the Holy Spirit, John knew that Jesus was coming in law and gospel, coming in judgment and salvation, coming to punish the wicked, but pouring out grace upon grace on those who believe. Jesus is God, wearing sandals, walking miles and miles, keeping God's law perfectly in your stead. And in those sandals, he carries your sin and your griefs and all your burdens to the cross. And on the cross, God in the flesh of man wore a crown of thorns, a purple robe, and his sandals, as Pontius Pilate tormented him and mocked him and finally presented him to the crowds and unwittingly but correctly announcing, "Behold the man." Yes, he was truly man. He is truly man. God incarnate, walking mightily in sandals, yet walking humbly to his death. Walking humbly to your death, so that you may live eternally. He poured out his innocent blood so that his blood might wash away all your sin, and he arose from the dead, fully man, bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh, yet still true God. And John came preaching that Jesus would baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And just like we just witnessed here earlier with little Vincent, when you were baptized, Scripture says Jesus saved you by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on you richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, you might become an heir according to the hope of eternal life. And as a regenerated child of God, you are a new creation. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you are now able to use your God-given gifts for God's kingdom. You no longer have to live as an enemy of God, embracing your sin, but you can delight in the law of the Lord. You can joyfully gather to receive God's priceless gifts, even when it feels uncomfortable. Our Lord is coming again. He says he is coming soon. He has given you all the tools to be prepared for his return. That's our bearing fruits of repentance and living a godly life in word and deed until his return. The one who came after John is mightier than John, and most certainly he is mightier than you and me. Jesus' human life is mightier than your record of past sins and mightier than your future sins. His crucifixion is mightier than the sins of all mankind. And his resurrection is mightier than sin, death, and the power of the devil. So every time you see Jesus hanging on the cross, you can remember Isaiah's words as if they were spoken directly to you, saying, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Your warfare is ended, your iniquity is pardoned, and you have received from the Lord's hand double the forgiveness of all your sins." You don't deserve it, neither do I. But in God's rich mercy, he pours out a double portion, all for the sake of Jesus' suffering and death. And he pours it out to you in the preaching of his word, in his word of absolution. He pours it out in remembrance of your baptismal promises and in his body and blood at his holy supper. Indeed, Jesus is coming again soon, although it seems like it has been a long time and a long wait, but we know that the Lord is not slow in fulfilling his promise, as some count as slowness, but he is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So until his return, take comfort. He is your comfort. For he will tend his flock like a shepherd, and when he returns, he will gather the lambs into his arms, and he will carry them to his bosom. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.